There are seven principles to our sustainability way, and I won't go into them in detail. Maybe Sean, we can
provide that later. But let's hit on a couple of key ones.
I hit on a couple of key ones, and so the first one I kind of touched on already is on social inclusion, and so that focuses on the inclusion and diversity work that we're doing within our own operations, but then within our supply chain, that looks at how are we working with more diverse suppliers. With minority-owned suppliers, indigenous-owned suppliers, as an example. And then within the work that we do for our clients, it's how are we making sure that whatever we are designing is helping to bring communities together rather than dividing them? How are we making sure that there's equitable access built into whatever it is we are delivering for our clients? So there's social inclusion.
Welcome to the Environmental Transformation Podcast, where we talk with industry leaders, climate champions, and sustainability professionals who are making an impact in their businesses today. Each leader is solving complex challenges and providing solutions within their respective areas of expertise. And here's our host, Sean Grady.
Hello, ET Nation. It's time to spread the word about this podcast. If you're just tuning in for the first time, well, welcome. We are honored to have you here with us. Please take a moment and subscribe to the podcast and leave a review about this episode. We really need to increase our listener participation to increase our podcast ratings, and we can do that by leaving reviews on Apple Podcast. If you are a longtime listener, well, thank you. If you haven't gone to my website lately, please sign up for our newsletter, blog posts, and email announcements, and do it now. Go to www.seankgrady.com. That's www.seankgrady.com. And become a member of the ET Nation today. We look forward to having you join us.
Welcome to the Environmental Transformation Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Grady, and today's guest is James Foray. James is the Global Head of Corporate Sustainability for GHD. He is leading GHD's commitment to sustainability development through the integrating ESG principles into decision-making across the organization and driving sustainability culture. GHD is a global professional services company that leads through engineering, construction, and architectural expertise to achieve their strategic vision of water, energy, communities made sustainable for generations to come. So, James, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sean. Happy to be here. I never pass up an opportunity to talk to anybody who's willing to listen to me talk about sustainability.
All right. Well, you're at the right place, the right time. Got a good platform for you here. Excited to have you on the show to talk about corporate sustainability and just sustainability in general. So, James, if you could, for the listeners, tell us a little bit about your journey and how you became involved in sustainability and the global, corporate sustainability lead for GHD.
You know, Sean, it is a pretty, well, I don't know. I think it's an interesting journey. I'll let you and then your listeners decide if it's interesting or not. But I actually started out my career working in international business. Doing international business development for a company, helping to develop their European markets. And I mean, I thought that was my dream job. That was my first job out of college. And I was flying all over Europe and Amsterdam and Stockholm and London.
Sounds like a dream job.
Yeah, especially for a college. You know, just out of college, I was 20, my early 20s. And but then I had, I don't know, Sean, I don't want to call it an epiphany, but I certainly had this experience where I felt like I wanted to do more and to make more of an impact. And so I actually kind of shifted my career path from international business to international development. So working on issues like human rights, I moved out to Washington, D.C., started working for an NGO, a non-governmental organization, doing work to protect and promote human rights and democracy around the world. I did a lot of work in Africa. And then from there, that work took me to the U.S. Department of State, where I led the State Department's Office on International Labor and Corporate Social Responsibility. And so corporate social responsibility is what we called sustainability back then. And so I really had a focus on business and human rights and working with US-based businesses on how they were managing human rights issues in their operations and supply chains overseas. And then from there, I went in-house to a couple of different Fortune 500 companies to work on corporate social responsibility and sustainability from inside within those companies. And then ended up here at GHD.
That's awesome. That's a great journey. I mean, working globally and helping develop some, corporate sustainability program or just sustainability programs and serving these countries and privileged underprivileged companies. It's amazing. It's really great. And I would have been pretty excited to, you know, working for the state, the federal government. That'd have been pretty interesting. And that big machine, so to speak, of an organization.
it was definitely a fantastic opportunity to use the platform of the U.S. government to be able to convene companies, other governments, non-governmental organizations, international organizations like the United Nations or the International Labor Organization, and to really be able to drive that collaboration that's really necessary to solve any of these environmental and social challenges that we're facing today.
Yeah, it's got to be a group effort, right? You can't just do one person or one group can't solve the problem. So that's really good. Well, talk a little bit about some of the priorities you're focused on here at GHD as the corporate sustainability leader.
Sure. And it's really twofold. So the first focus is on incorporating environmental and social performance into our key decision-making processes. And, you know, Sean, I talked about earlier how I work on sustainability, and in my previous company, which was a publicly traded or publicly owned company, I had responsibility for engaging with the investors, so big institutional investors, on ESG issues. And one of our investors once said, and this has always stuck with me, we can always tell when a company takes sustainability seriously when it actually influences the decisions that they make. And so that's always stuck with me. And so that's part of our focus here is integrating sustainability into our decision-making. And then the second piece is very related to that. And that is to strengthen our sustainability culture. And Sean, I'm sure you and most of the listeners will be familiar that in our industry and many others, there is a big focus on safety. I mean, there's a lot of talk about safety culture. Yep. And so within a company, who's accountable for safety? Well, I think in most companies, people would say, in most companies where there's a safety culture, most people would say, well, everybody is responsible for safety.
Yeah,
And that's the kind of culture we want around sustainability at GHD, where everybody feels, every single person feels that accountability and responsibility for our sustainability performance and feels empowered to take action.
Yeah. No, you know, I think back of, you know, when I first got into the business, you know, we had a passion about helping improve the environment, right?
Yeah.
And we were, you know, interested in making a difference and solving the problems of, you know, society, so to speak, or at least, you know, industry, you know, contaminating and trying to help clean up, you know, contaminated sites to protect people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as we continue to grow, we were working through, like, you know, managing waste and recycling it in a proper way and doing it to, you know, improve, you know, the drag on natural resources and being more, you know, quote unquote, sustainable.
Yeah.
We didn't frame it in that vernacular. We didn't speak the same terms that we speak now, even though what we were doing back then is what we are doing now and have been doing a long time. We're just now reframing the conversation a bit more, a better way to really talk about what we've been doing for a long time. And I've seen this kind of transition and it's been quite interesting to kind of be, you know, here in the, you know, in this position, watching this happen. And it's really great because we do need to be more sustainable. We need to focus on these types of goals and hitting KPIs and trying to reduce our climate impacts and decarbonize things. And this is kind of what it's all about. And being a part of an organization that's what their main thing is,
Yeah.
I enjoy that. Right. I mean, that's absolutely what that's what gets us up in the morning. Right.
And that's what drew me to GHD in the first place, Sean, is a place where that thinking, that work, it's just part of who we are.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, so now you're the corporate, you know, sustainability lead for GHD globally. I mean, this is a big role for us here and for you at GHD. Talk about how the enterprise, you know, operationally is governed by, you know, governing this whole GHD sustainability program. How does that work for you? Because you can't just do it yourself, right? I mean, right. How does this work?
And that's such a key piece to being successful for anyone in my type of role to be successful is you've got to have it supported and driven by leadership, not just by leadership, but they absolutely have to be
bought in.
They've got to be bought in. They got to be in. They got to be leading right. it. And right. so on our board, our board of directors, we have an ESG committee. And so that's critical. And so every quarter I report to our ESG committee on our progress on our sustainability strategy and the different efforts that we have going on across the business. On the executive or the enterprise leadership team, which in other companies, they may call it their executive leadership team, but on the ELT, we have actually a number of different executives who have accountability for one component of our sustainability performance or another. So for example, we have my boss on the enterprise leadership team. And then we also have our chief marketing officer, and she has accountability for the sustainability services that we offer to our clients, the sustainability and resilience and ESG services that we provide to our clients. We have our chief financial officer, and he has accountability for our procurement and supply chain activities and the sustainability work that we're doing to integrate environmental and social performance into our procurement. So there are a number of different folks on the ELT who have accountability for sustainability. And so what our global CEO has done is he has also named a sustainability sponsor for the ELT, who's separate from all those other people I just talked about, to make sure that everybody is working together and coordinating their efforts. And so our sustainability sponsor happens to be the CEO of our Americas region. And you know, that's, I think that giving that sustainability sponsor role to somebody, our Americas CEO, who has such a critical position in the business, also speaks to the importance that our global CEO places on sustainability.
Yeah, no, that's really good. I mean, it's great to see that you've got some top-down support because, you know, it's affecting all areas of our business, whether it's our employees, it's like you said, it's our supply chain, you know, so there's a lot of people there. And that's great.
This episode is sponsored by TerraTherm. TerraTherm is a worldwide leader in the development and implementation of thermal remediation services for organic contaminants. They partner with environmental consultants, engineering firms, government agencies, corporations, and property owners to achieve their remediation cleanup goals. Their experienced project teams and patented technologies are based on over 20 years of successful project experience and R&D in the thermal remediation of soil, rock, and groundwater. If you are evaluating in situ remedial alternatives for organic contaminants, then it's time to think thermal. To learn more, check out their website at www.terratherm.com.
So, James, talk a little bit about how GHD is integrating ESG priorities into decision-making and operations across the enterprise. I know we talked a little bit about, you know, the support you have from leadership, but give some examples of how are you guys really, you know, integrating this type of concept in our business.
Yeah, and so I think that the key thing is that we're integrating it across our value chain. So we're doing it not just in our operations, we're also doing it in the procurement. I mentioned that earlier, that we're doing through our supply chain, and we're doing it in our project work. So in our operations, a couple of examples are the work that we're doing to implement some of the S priorities under in ESG, the social priorities in terms of inclusion and diversity and well-being.
Yep.
And so we have, I have a counterpart who leads our global inclusion and diversity work. And I also have a counterpart who leads our global well-being work. So there's a big focus on those S components within our own workforce. And then issues like environmental performance and also the impact on well-being play into decisions like the office spaces that we select, their location, but then also how we build them out. And then there's the work in our supply chain. So for our supplier pre-qualification process, we ask vendors or potential vendors what policies and practices and processes that they have in place to manage issues like human rights or forced labor in their operations and in their supply chain, how they're managing their carbon footprint. So that's how we're into our procurement, to our supply chain. And then really, because of the type of company that we are, as a professional services company, we don't have a large physical footprint, and even our supply chain relative to other types of firms is not that big. So really where we have our greatest environmental and social impact is through the projects that we do with our clients. And so in terms of decision-making around our client projects, there are two really key pieces there. One are the decisions around which projects we pursue. And so we've developed and have rolled out our project selection guidelines that talk about these are the types of projects we are seeking to avoid, and these are the types of projects we're going to continue to pursue. As an example, we are seeking to avoid any projects that are supporting any greenfield or new thermal coal projects or thermal coal powered power plants, as an example. So that's the projects that we decide to pursue. And then for those that we do pursue, there's the question of how do we deliver those projects? And so we're currently working on processes for integrating sustainability into our project delivery framework and right. into our service lines. You know, Sean, we've got almost 50 different service lines. And so we're looking at how do we integrate environmental and social performance to improve how we deliver those services to our clients so that we can provide a more sustainable outcome, regardless of the type.
Yeah. So I think you're kind of leading to a segue where within GHD, there's been I'm aware of what's called the sustainability way.
Yeah.
Kind of the way of doing business. Let's talk a little bit about that. What are the principles behind it? How does it guide the organization from project staff to vendor supply chain selection and client advocacy?
Yeah. And so I'm glad you asked about that, Sean, because that is really, it's key to how we are doing all those things that we just talked about. And there are seven principles to our sustainability way. And I won't go into them in detail. Maybe Sean,
we can provide that later, but let's hit on a couple of key ones.
I'll hit on a couple of key ones. And so the first one is I kind of touched on already is on social inclusion. And so that focuses on the inclusion and diversity work that we're doing within our own operations, but then within our supply chain, that looks at how are we working with more diverse suppliers, with minority-owned suppliers, indigenous-owned suppliers, as an example. And then within the work that we do for our clients, it's how are we making sure that whatever we are designing is helping to bring communities together rather than dividing them? How are we making sure that there's equitable access built into whatever it is we are delivering for our clients? So there's social inclusion. Community vitality is another one. And when we look at community vitality, that's really about creating these thriving places and vibrant spaces where we are balancing well-being and connectivity and productivity. And you know, you may, and I think it's easy to kind of jump directly to the project work that we do for our clients, because we do a lot of community design and infrastructure. That's absolutely true. It also applies to our own GHC community. And I talked about the work that we do about around well-being of our own people, of our own GHD community. Then we have, here's one that is really important to me, which is generational value creation. And so that's focused on, well, it's making sure that we are prioritizing long-term economic, environmental, and social value over short-term gains. Because that's, John, I think you started out, Sean, by talking about our purpose, which is together with our clients, or you referenced our purpose, together with our clients, we create lasting community benefit. And so that's lasting benefit. And so we're talking about having that long-term view of making sure that the decisions that we make are delivering long-term stakeholder value.
That's good. Yeah.
So a couple of other ones. We have a principle on Indigenous peoples, on decarbonization, environmental stewardship, and technical and scientific integrity. Do we have time for me to touch on that last one, Sean?
Yeah.
The technical and scientific integrity. That one, we are a firm of professionals, of engineers and scientists and designers and technical experts. And we have to make sure that when we are making decisions for ourselves and for our clients, that especially when it comes to these issues, these environmental and social issues, that we are making them based on the science, based on facts, because these issues, as you know, Sean, can be very emotional.
Yes, they can.
Political. And we cannot be swayed by those emotions or by the latest political rhetoric. We have to be focused on the facts and on the science, on the latest science. We have to maintain that integrity.
Yeah, no, I like that. I mean, it is easy to get kind of sucked into, a political position or just feeling like you got a community interest and emotions played. But as you said, let's talk about the science. What do the facts say about it? Let's have a level head about the decision, make the best decision, and have some honesty and trustworthiness in that. You know, I think that really helps go a long way with our credibility in the industry, right?
Absolutely.
Did you know E-Tank is the only environmental rental equipment company in the industry that offers a 100% certified clean guarantee at no additional cost? Well, this gives customers the peace of mind knowing that container contents from the previous renter isn't going to cross-contaminate the contents of the current customer and potentially cause liability concerns. You know, E-Tank also provides a one-of-a-kind complete maintenance program for all its rental items, including liquid-tight roll-off containers, fluid transfer pumps, and filtration system components. To learn more about the types of containers and pumps E-Tank supplies, check out their website at www.etank.net. So the next time you are faced with an environmentally challenging project, give E-Tank a call to help solve your problem. It's just that easy.
Well, one of the things I know that GHD has been doing, and they're focusing quite a bit right now on these big three items called the futures.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about how do the futures tie into GHD's, ESG sustainability goals. So we have the future of energy.
Yeah.
Focusing on decarbonization and alternative energy fuel sources, things like that. We have the future of communities, and you talked about lasting communities and building, more sustainable ones. And then we have this future of water, which we haven't talked too much yet about that one, but that's another natural resource that we have. So how do all these collectively contribute to GHD sustainable development goals?
When you talk about our sustainable development goals, really talking about not just GHG's sustainable development goals, but the United Nations sustainable. Yeah.
Right.
And there are 17, as you mentioned, and many of them do line up with these, with our future initiatives. I mean, there are obviously sustainable development goals around climate action and affordable and clean energy, clean water and sanitation, sustainable cities and communities, reduced inequalities, gender equality. So I won't go through all 17, but it's not hard to see how our focus on future energy, future of water, future communities is driving progress towards achieving those goals. And the reason, one of the reasons why I joined GHD was because we are, you know, in some businesses, really, they can, the best that they can do is to just do as little damage as possible.
Yeah.
Right? But GHD, we are in the fortunate position to have the opportunity, and I would actually say the responsibility, to actually bring solutions to not just to not make the problem worse, but to solve the problems.
Right. And yeah.
Future energy and future water and future communities efforts do is they are working with our partners, with our clients and with communities to look at what are the challenges going to be like, not just now, but 10, 15, 20, 30 years into the future. And how can we work together now to build, design, and put things in place to solve those problems?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really kind of intrigued about all three of them, to be honest with you, but I really like the future of energy with the focus on, you know, identifying alternative fuel sources, decarbonizing, you know, our climate with through this initiative. Like, you know, we want to make our world a cleaner, more livable space. You know, how do we do that with looking at these different types of energy sources? You know, water is such a big issue now too. I mean, climate change is happening constantly, and it's affecting our water quality. And you will see that, you know, with the water quality situation that happened across, that we have massive flooding, we got droughts, you know, how do communities figure out how to use water and reuse water and minimize its impact, or find ways to increase the use of it through better engineering structures and things like that. That's what I really like to see. And I'm glad that GHD has been doing all that through their futures initiatives. And so that's been a big interest I have. And then with the future communities, I really like the future communities. We've got a lot of focus on how do we make these more sustainable? How do we, you know, design and build them for the future, for, you know, and I think that's weaving all of these design implement elements into, you know, a strategy with these communities is another way that we're really helping our you know, our clients and communities that we serve. So really appreciate that. I guess the last thing I would say is, you know, we, you know, when you look at, you know, how do you assess the current ESG issues affecting GHD's business or our client, you know, their clients or, you know, and the staff to ensure that they're working and doing what they need to do to align to all, you know, these stakeholder expectations, you know, like, is there any way you're measuring and monitoring this, you know, process?
Yeah, Sean, and that's a pretty, well, I that is a challenge that all companies face in trying to determine what their focus should be, because there are so many. I mean, we're facing a lot of challenges, Sean.
Yeah.
and we can't, as a single company, GHG can't focus on all of them, or we wouldn't be focusing. So a best practice for GHG and for any company doing this is to do a materiality assessment. And so a materiality assessment is, for those who, I think a lot of your audience will probably be familiar with that, but for those who aren't, it's an exercise where you essentially survey your key stakeholders,
right,
and what they think our priorities should be. And so for us, we spoke to a collection of our own people. So we did an internal survey. And then we also looked externally at our clients and also at a few of our other business partners. So for example, our financial service providers, like our banks that provide us with financing and our insurers. And we provided them with a list of environmental and social and governance issues, and then asked them to rank them in order of importance. And we actually had conversations. It wasn't just a survey that they filled out, but we followed that up with a discussion, with lengthy discussions with those stakeholders.
Gotcha. Yeah. So you did this assessment, you identified some of the key items to, make basically set of priorities for, and then you're able to kind of build that program around those types of expectations or ideas that are known to be, the big concerns to be addressed. I mean, sounds like that was how long did that take you to do? Like a year or so or what?
No, it was over several weeks.
Over several weeks. Short. Okay.
It was very compressed. I mean, it was a lot of effort in those weeks. A lot of concentrated effort. And I will say that it was, that is an important exercise to go through. At the same time, I think just because, again, of the type of company that we are, like you said earlier, Sean, I mean, we already do this type of work. It's part of our purpose. It's part of our vision. It's central to our client offering. So we didn't get any surprising or new information for materiality assessment, but it did serve as a very helpful and needed confirmation or affirmation of what our focus is.
I think a lot of times, working in this industry and for a company like GHD, it's really about changing the way we talk more so than changing our behaviors, because I think our behaviors, we're really already doing a lot of the things we want to do and that we think are the best practices for, addressing ESG priorities, because that's what we're here for, right? It's just the way that we speak about what we are doing and how we, what projects we're working on. And I think that gets lost because we get real technical. Like, we don't really talk it in the way speak it in the way that is really communicating the benefit or the power or the solutions that we've done and delivered on in a sustainable ESG manner. And I think that's some of the things that I've been sensing and learning through, years of experience working in the business. And I think what's your take on that?
I agree. It is changing how we talk about it and communicate about it. And I think the other piece that's really important though is, yes, we have always worked on these things. We've always, this has always been a focus of ours. When I say this, I mean sustainability and environmental and social performance. And but part of what I'm focused on though is also putting in the policies and processes to make sure that we are doing that consistently across the business so that it is systematized.
Yeah. That's a big piece of it that I think has been lacking, right? I mean, having guardrails around the process, having, systems, like you said, in place that help kind of guide the process for people who already are wanting to do these things and are doing them. It's just checking boxes, making sure things are really following the process. So that way, on an annual basis, you can measure this. Like, that's the big question I would have to you is, James, how are you measuring our progress? How do you measure this? Because if you can't, you got to measure whatever the goals that we're putting out there to measure against. We got to be able to do it to report out. What are those KPIs? How does that look like? How do you measure this work?
Yeah. And so, I mean, our first one that we've really been focused on this last year, because we had set a goal to be carbon neutral for our scope 1 and scope 2 emissions for our fiscal year 2023. And this is the first time that we've set a goal for our greenhouse gas emissions. And so we had to develop the accounting mechanisms for us to be able to collect that data.
Right.
And that was, Sean, we have 200 plus offices around the world. And so that was not a small feat. And so a lot of the work that we're doing right now is really developing the systems to collect the data. Right. And to be able to collect that in a consistent way so that we can report on it as an enterprise. We do a lot of great things in our different regions. And so that is a challenge, Sean, is I think one of the great things about GHD is that we are a fairly decentralized organization, which allows for a lot of innovation and a lot of tailoring our approach to services and clients to that specific context It also provides a challenge, though, when you are in a global role like mine, an enterprise role, to try to implement something consistently across across the enterprise.
100%. Yeah, no, I totally get you. And I can sympathize with that, challenge. I mean, it is challenging, and it's can be difficult. But you got to, keep at it, but you have the support. So that's a big piece of, it's like, okay, I've got this support. And I can do those things. I can put those things in place and have buy-off with the organization. That's really great.
This podcast is supported by GHD. GHD has over 11,000 employees globally, supporting its clients with sustainability services, as well as engineering, design, and implementation services to help you achieve your ESG goals. GHD has the expertise to help you create purpose-driven, resilient operations that drive reliability and operational cost reduction, engineering innovation, ESG rating improvement, enhancement of your corporate brand, and increased employee satisfaction and customer loyalty. To learn more about GHD's sustainability services, check out their website at www.ghd.com.
So here's a question for you. I mean, like, for instance, we're a privately held firm.
Yep.
What's the difference between, sustainability ESG obligations for a privately held firm versus a publicly held firm, a publicly traded firm?
I'll talk about the obligations, but I'll also talk about the opportunities. So the obligations are different because a lot of the reporting, the sustainability reporting that you're seeing companies do is being driven by, one, the investor demand from big institutional investors, or two, what we're seeing more and more of are regulatory requirements. And because most of those tend to be focused on publicly traded firms.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that those don't necessarily impact us, because although we are not publicly traded, you know who is publicly traded, Sean?
Our clients.
A lot of our clients.
That's right. And we're the vendors, so it's pushed down to us.
That's right. And our, I talked earlier about our financial service partners. So our banks, our insurers.
That's right.
Many of them are publicly traded. So those are the obligations. The opportunity, though, is, and this may sound like a criticism, and maybe it is, in a lot of public, having worked at publicly traded firms before, a lot of the focus, and it's not necessarily the company's fault. You could even put this on the investors, the shareholders. There is a huge focus on that quarterly performance.
They want profits.
But not just profits, but on a quarterly basis. So Sean, we talked earlier about one of the principles of our sustainability way is generational value creation. And so prioritizing long-term social, environmental, and economic value over short-term gains. And when
you're- Different mindset than the investor mindset.
That's right. So that's an opportunity that we have as a privately held firm is we can, and I'm not saying we do this perfectly or that we always do it, but we at least have the opportunity to take that long-term view and make decisions based on that long-term and not feel that pressure to just focus on the short term on a quarterly basis.
Yeah. And I think that, it provides us a little flexibility in the way we design our sustainability program. We're not forced by some, federal reporting law, but we do know that there are going to be some obligations that we're going to have to develop and put in place because we are suppliers to the people who are in that space. And so, but that's good to hear. And I just wanted to make that differentiation for the listeners to understand that, there's different types of companies that are, obligated to put together these types of programs. And I think more and more that you're seeing people voluntarily develop their sustainability programs because, it's the right thing to do. But a lot of main reason is because they're a supplier to somebody who is a corporate that needs to have these things in place. So, and that's really good. Well, what are some of the keys to creating a culture of sustainability?
Here's another area where I think GHC is pretty unique. And it's one of those things that, one of those other things that drew me to GHD. And I think in driving, it's, if you're trying to drive a sustainability culture, if you're trying to strengthen or create a sustainability culture, it sure makes it a lot easier when it's built in to the company's purpose and vision, like it is at GHD. And so I'll, for those who aren't familiar with our purpose and our vision, I'll just repeat it. So our purpose, GHD's purpose, is together with our clients, we create lasting community benefit. And then our vision is to make water, energy, and communities sustainable for generations to come. And so that purpose, that focus on lasting community benefit, I mean, lasting is really just another word for sustainable.
Right.
And then in our vision, we have the word sustainable in it, right? To make water, energy, and communities sustainable for generations to come. And so that makes my job so much easier because I can always bring back anything that we're trying to do from a sustainability standpoint to our purpose and to our vision, to why we exist and what our purpose is for existing. And so that is extremely critical. And we, and I specifically, am very fortunate to work for a company that has sustainability built into that.
I think too, the storytelling of, you know, successes and projects that are, you know, that we're working on with clients, or how we've affected communities, or whether that's through social impact or you name it. But I think a huge piece of what is helping us create this culture is our way of how we're communicating what we're doing. I mean, it's great that we got programs in place, but we got to let people know what we're doing, right? Because not a lot of people may not know who we are, you know, and we got to get the message out.
Yeah, that's a great point. And telling the stories and the successes. And so people understand, well, what does this, we have this great purpose and vision. What does it actually look like when we implement it?
Yeah. Which is why we have you on the podcast today, James, so we can communicate these stories and this strategy. So this is good. Tell me some of the main challenges you're facing today in your role as the global sustainability leader.
I think it would really have to be, and I touched on this a little bit earlier, Sean, about the challenges of working in a decentralized organization and trying to put the processes in place to make sure that what we're doing from a sustainability standpoint, that we are able to do it consistently and systematically across the company, because we're a company of what, almost 12,000 people, Sean?
Yep.
And look, I've yet to work with a person at GHD that is not fantastic. Admittedly, I've not worked with all 11,999 of my colleagues, of our colleagues. but we have to make sure that no matter who is the project director or the project manager, no matter who is the business group leader or the market leader or the regional manager or the regional CEO for that matter, that we are still having the same focus and putting the same priority on our environmental and social performance. And so we've got to have those systems and processes in place and policies to make sure that is consistent across the enterprise.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you know, hey, outside of the GHD specific work, what keeps you up at night?
Oh man, Sean, you know, as a sustainability guy, I just wonder, is, now I'm going to wax a little philosophical, maybe esoteric here, but can we continue with this like economic model, at least in a capitalist context, that just focuses on growth. And you know, I think we've got to change again. I'm going to get super nerdy on you, Sean, but just some of the things that we talked about KPIs, if we continue to use GDP, gross domestic product, as a key KPI for the success of a government or a country, that's going to lead us bad decisions, because we're going to be focused on just this unbridled, unsustainable growth. And so just that keeps me up at night, Sean. I mean, we've got to change this focus on this, I don't think, an unsustainable growth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that when you think about some of those issues, it is a big it's a big issue to be addressed, and hopefully the federal government and economic financial institutions will kind of maybe change their mind about measuring, you know, growth or value in a business in a different way, or how society is produced, you know, performing. But it would be great if we could come up with some alternatives, because it is a problem. You're not the first person that actually brought that up on the show.
Oh, really? So,
yeah. And it was another sustainable investment person, Ron Gonin, who heads up Closed Loop Partners. I don't know if you know Ron, but he manages Closed Loop Partners. We had him on the show probably, a year and a half ago or so. And he's all about sustainability and developing and investing in, you know, companies that can, you know, support and achieve these sustainable goals through either recycling and whatnot. So, but he brought up the same thing, you know, GDP is like, how, you know, we can't be successful and change the way we do business and change the way we evaluate and assess how we're progressing in life by that metric. It's really not a good one. So. Yeah. Well, what gives you hope? What gives you hope for the future?
You know, I think it's the fact that we're talking more and more about sustainability, and it's become much more mainstream. So it's not just, I've been working on these sustainable development issues for more than 20 years. And at the beginning of my career, working on these issues, the discussion was among people in my role was all about making the business case. You got to make the business case. How do you make the business case for sustainability? And now I would say in most companies, in GHD, at least in GHD, I don't even have to worry about making the business case.
That's already, everybody, it's already approved, or it's already, you know, been adopted.
And so it's become, I think the fact that it's become more mainstream, and you're going to continue to see expectations rise in terms of what people expect from companies, from governments around sustainability, especially as we look at, you know, the leaders of tomorrow. I hate to sound cliche, but if we look at the leaders of tomorrow and like Gen Z, people that are coming into our workforce, coming into GHD,
they care,
and it's part of their expectations. It's absolutely not like this nice to have thing. It's got to be part of how a company, any organization that they're affiliated with, it's got to be part of that company's purpose and as we talked about purpose and vision and ethos, and so I think that gives me hope.
Well, James, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. It's been great to listen to you talk a little bit about GHD's sustainability program and how you are leading the ship there. And I really appreciate you just sharing your thoughts with our audience. And we look forward to talking to you soon. To future environmental transformation podcast episodes, you can check us out on all the major podcast networks or from my website at www.seankgrady.com. And remember, don't forget to follow us and please write a review about this episode. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel. Well, thanks for listening. Until next time, make a positive impact in someone's life today.